just something that I'm noticing I need more of, I need, it's just a word that's kind of rattling around in my head. And then at Oval, where I work, each year, John, my boss, he has a word of the year, and the word this year was diligence. And so I thought I'd kind of go into it a little bit, just kind of look into that word, and talk about the material world and our relationships with it, and what are we, how we function, and what's God designed for us. So, the material world was designed to be connected with the spiritual world. But in my opinion, that in modern Christianity, we have so finely separated the material world from the spiritual one. And we kind of adopt this idea that the material world, not that it's bad, but it's just it doesn't hold the value of the eternal, but we almost cast it off as a new value. But God's time is to live in both the spiritual world and the invisible world at the same time. He has a purpose for us, and we have to restore God's wisdom to the material world. There's a lack of that. We need to restore that to the world that we live in. And if we can do that, then we can learn to live like that, not only connection with God and with people, and that fulfills our purpose spiritually, but it can also make us productive physically. And so that's a little bit of what we're going to get into. You can open up to Psalm 115, and which is where I want to start today. We'll see a little bit of God's heart as we look there. I'll start here in verse 12. Starting in Psalm 115. Verse 12, it says, the Lord has been mindful of us. And he has, you are on his mind. God is thinking about you. And then what is it that he thinks about you? Does he think about how he can get you, or the suffering that he can put you through to make you a little more holy? No, this is not what he thinks concerning you. It says, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. So he's thinking about you, and his intentions are to bless you. That he will bless the house of Israel, the people of God, God's chosen people, the congregation of the Old Testament. And then it says that he will bless the house of Aaron. And these were in those days the priests or the ministers, those who were assigned to lead the people of God. Continuing there in verse 8, it says he will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. So again, from the children all the way to the older folks. If you're, it means those who are at a lower station of life. Those who are at a higher station of life, whether you're struggling and in poverty, or you're middle class, or you're doing quite well, God doesn't put a qualification on you, on blessing you, just because of what you may or may not have already. If you continue in verse 14, it turns into a prayer, and it says, may the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. And let's just stop here for a brief moment. It says, God made heaven and earth. So who lives in heaven? Well, we know that God lives in heaven. And according to Scripture, heaven is the Father's house. It's God's throne. You know, we kind of think of it as in the sky. It's up there. It's a different dimension that is real and tangible, but it almost feels like a parallel universe or a parallel existence, kind of one that runs along with our material and physical one. It's not material, but it's no less real. It's a different kind of substance. It's spirit, and that's where God lives. It continues in verse 16. It says, the heaven, even heavens, are the Lord's. But if we look here, the very last part of the verse, it says, for the earth, he has given the children of men. So God has given the earth away. It's a nice gift. He made the heaven, he made the earth, and as creator, of course, he's the ultimate owner of it all, but he made the earth and he gave it to the children of men as a gift. It says, the heaven of the Lord, the earth, he has given. And the Hebrew word for given here is netan, which means to be issued to or assigned to. So he's given over direction or management of the earth to the children of men. And it is just like when you give a present away, you think a good present is one that's been thought about. You think about who it's for and what they would like. You put thought into it, you wrap it up real nice, maybe you write a nice note card or a gift card you put in there. Prepare well, but a present is one that's been prepared well for us. And so we find out when God, who existed in heaven, made the earth, he took the planet and he molded it, and he created the light so that it would shine through, and he separated the water from the dry land, and he made so why is he preparing this gift? If he's made the animal life, if he's made the plant life, he's designed the constellations, the galaxies, and the stars so that if you actually look at how our universe functions, we're actually, we spiral. It's not just a round circle, we are literally spiraling through space, where everything is moving beyond the sun, and we're moving at 100,000, whatever speed, we're flying through space. And it's all perfectly put together in perfect harmony. And so he prepared all this, and then the Bible says, on the sixth day, God said to himself, let us now make man according to our image and our likeness. So then God took the earth and formed it. He breathed life into it, and he created a new class of being. Not an angel, and not an animal, but a human. A human with a physical body made of the earth, as well as a spirit from God. And God said in Genesis 1:26, that is in my image. So I made this new creature who's going to occupy both the spiritual and the physical dimensions. What am I going to do with this creature? You know what? In Genesis 1, we'll be spending some time there as well. He says, what am I going to do with this creature? Well, notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, I have made this creature after my image and after my likeness, and now let them pray. Well, I made this creature after my image and likeness, let them fast, let them go to church, let them do spiritual warfare. And all of those things are good, but the purpose is not these things. He made man in his image, and he said, let man have dominion over the earth. So he made the earth. He made man, he put man in the earth, and he said, this is yours. You have dominion. And the word here, dominion, does not mean for dominate, but rather to use or to care for. So what's the very first thing we learn about God? In Genesis 1:1, we learn he's a creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And here on day 6, he creates a creature that is also creative. His final work of creation is to make a being who would cooperate with him, who is in his image and likeness, who would mold and subdue the earth, and he said, let them have dominion. And he said, be fruitful. Fruitful means to produce. I put you down here on the earth. I'm giving you the earth. Now you, humanity, need to produce. I'm giving you something to do. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Take dominion over it. God created the earth, and he gives us the wisdom and the knowledge and the creativity to take the materials and pull out of those materials the potential. He said, let them fill the earth, let them subdue it. Subdue here means to rule the earth, or to tame the earth. So our original purpose was to take the earth, and it's the earth that it was finished from God's perspective, but not yet completely finished. And he allows us in his own image to begin to create and to develop and to build. And from the beginning of time until now, humanity has, sometimes in the wisdom of God and oftentimes not, has been pulling out the resources of the earth and to build what we have today. And that's what God put man in part on the earth to do. And in the story of creation, there's information that is essential in understanding how we are supposed to function as children of God. And again, there's not a hard line between the spiritual and the physical. In fact, the spiritual purpose that he's given to us is related to the earth, the material creation. He didn't just say to pray and wait for the rapture. He said, subdue the earth, multiply, and fill. You know, these are all things of action, things that we are called to do. go take the materials out of the earth. Go take the things that I've hidden in the rocks and in the mountains. I've hidden them in the oceans. I've hidden them in the elements, and you know, there's gold in those mountains, and there's oil in those valleys. Now go dig it up. Go search for it. Go find it. Be fruitful and produce. You're designed to be creative producers in His image. In Proverbs 25, verse 2, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter." And so up to this point, here in Genesis 1, everything that we know about God comes from Genesis 1, verse 1 through verse 25. And there's three things we know. We know that He's a creator. We know that He works 6 days, and He made humans to be like Him. Heaven is God's, earth is yours. If you want to, you can flip over to chapter 2 in verse 15. And there it tells us that God took the man He made and He put him in a garden. So a garden is a lush area loaded with the potential to grow things, to produce things. And He put Adam in this garden and He tells us why He put him there. We see that in verse 15, it says, He put Adam in the garden to dress it. Some of your translations might say to tend it. The Hebrew word that is used here is the Hebrew word avad, which means to work, to cultivate. It's hard to find one word. The best I could find was, most definitions I found were phrases. Cultivate is probably the best word, but it kind of has this idea of cultivation through work, or cultivation through method. You take what is there, you take what you have, and now you take it and you develop it, and you mold it, and you build something. So God made the earth, He made us, He put man in the earth. So here we see that we are connected to heaven and earth. In our own beings, we have both a spiritual side and we have a physical side. So He puts on the earth, He gives the earth, and He says, the earth is loaded with potential. Now your mission, humanity, is to work. To work it, to cultivate it, to pull out this potential that I've hidden in there. And the lie that the culture has sold us, that the goal is to make just as much money as you can so that you don't have to do anything, is not going to bring us fulfillment. You can get the big house, you can get the money, you can get cars, you can get the lake house, you can all that money, you can beg, borrow, steal, whatever. You're not going to be happy just pursuing pleasure. Because the earth was not given to us just to enjoy pleasure-wise, we are supposed to produce. And this is God's word to humanity. He said to the man, you have a job. You need to pull out all the potential that's all around you. That's what I put you down here to do. And again, that's not all He put down here to do, but the idea is that through work, you're actually using the earth God has given to us to provide our needs. And again, God didn't put Adam down in the garden and say, no, just play, just have fun, you know, enjoy, you know, just hang back. You get a little hungry, I'll just slob strawberry. Just, you know, I'll pick it for you. You just chill out. You know, there's ideas in books about working less and less. I saw the idea of a while back of a 4-day work week. I've heard there's a book out about a 4-hour work week. And even if we could provide for ourselves, you know, working 4 days or 4 hours a week, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's good for us or that we should. Because God said, after He made man and gave the earth, He said, it's been given unto mankind 6 days to work and 1 day to rest. And God works, and then He rests. You know, He can play, He can rest, but there are 6 cycles of work to 1 cycle of rest. But again, you have the right attitude about it. If you think your job is good, it's just something you have to do to survive. Then we're not having the right mentality. The Bible says in Proverbs, I'm not sure exactly where the Proverbs said, but it says in the Proverbs that in all labor there is profit. So maybe what you're doing right now is not what you want to do. Maybe it's not what you think your calling is. Maybe you think you were meant for more than this. Whatever, in your case, this is. But it's what you have. It's where you are right now. say, oh, well, they hired me, but they, you know, they didn't orient me correctly. They didn't give me all the right tools. I don't really know what my job description is or where I fit in. Let others complain about that. You're a believer. You are supposed to show up on time. You're supposed to work hard. And they have provided you everything you need. You can handle because you're wise enough to ask questions, to find the creative solution. You know, there's a generation of Christians who have no biblical understanding of the original contract God gave to you, which is production and work. I heard one pastor call it the law of diligence. Because it's not just getting a job and working. It's the attitude and the spirit of diligently working what is in your hands to produce. God said, Adam, you're going to need people. Here's a garden. Now figure it out. Work. Produce. And God gave him another job. So his first job was to tend the garden. His second job was naming all the animals. So God lines them all up and he brings all the animals to Adam and says, Adam, you name them what you want. Adam sits there and you see all four bodies of the earth. We call that one and that one's hippopotamus. And, you know, obviously he didn't call it hippopotamus, but whatever God gave him the right to name it, whatever he called it, that's what it was. God let man name his creation. He had those two jobs. Then God says, you know, this guy has named all the animals. You know, he's doing an excellent job in the garden, but he needs a relationship. And I'm going to make it helpful for him. And again, we all know the story. God puts Adam asleep, takes one of his ribs, and from that rib, he forms a woman. And now, one of the purposes of the woman was to fill that equal relationship. It's not good that man should be alone. Because, again, up to this point, man's relationship was with animals and was with the earth. And now here's the thing. The earth is good. It's loaded. The earth is loaded with potential. So in work, man is always looking for untapped potential. The woman is designed to see the potential in the man. As I've been writing this, it's hard not to think of this from a 21st century viewpoint where everything has to be so careful, and you know, everyone has to fit nicely in their little boxes. But trying to think about that, not about whether a woman can work or should work. What I'm trying to say is, you know, there's a special anointing or there's an ability that God gave to the woman, which has to do with seeing the potential in the man. I've heard it put this way: a man sees a woman as an object of attraction he must have if he wants her to stay the same. Don't change. Stay as you are. A woman marries a man not for what he is, but for what she sees he can be. And maybe even what she believes she can be. And she sees the potential and she immediately begins trying to change him. And you know, maybe you say, well, I don't think about that. Okay, then fine, not everything is universal, but can you see the dynamics that might sometimes happen? And now here's the point. We need to attend to our covenant with the earth, which is to bring up the potential to work to buy for ourselves. And we're both men and women to attend to relationship. Again, in general, women are more attuned to what's going on in the relationship than men are. And this is why men can have a great family. Like they can have everyone sort of well at home, they have a wife, they have their kids, but a doesn't feel productive in a job. Generally, a man is not going to feel fulfilled. Whereas a woman can be very powerful, make a ton of money, be very influential, but generally, and again, I know not everything is universal, but generally, a job or career wants to satisfy for a woman the same itch that a meaningful relationship, partnership would. And between men and women, our needs are a bit different, and our perspectives are different, our physiology is even just a little bit different, and God has called us to come together because we cannot pull out the potential of the earth or ourselves without the other. And so humanity has been given the earth, been called to pull out the potential of the earth, and now all of a sudden there's something that no longer Adam does just by himself. It's something he does in partnership with his wife. And now humanity's job, our job, is to build strong relationships, to learn about ourselves in relationships, while at the same time working and bringing out the potential of the earth. We're not cursed. It's part of how we're designed. Now, I don't know what you all think about heaven, but I really don't think of heaven as in heaven and will is going to be retired. I really want to be busy. We're going to be learning. We're going to be building. We're going to be creating, producing. God didn't stop his creative thinking, his creative genius on day six. He didn't create and then boom, it's over. He's still a creator, and he wants us to create. This covenant of work, of diligent productivity, is part of our design. Not all of it, but it's part of it. And I think that you need to have the right mindset towards work, the right heart towards work. And you need to bring a spiritual purpose to it. Whatever your job is, you can be, whether you're a salesman, or you're an assistant, or you go out on the job and perform a trade. Whatever your career is, you might say, what does this have to do with the kingdom of God? This is just quite important. What does this have to do with the kingdom of God? When you show up, you bring the kingdom of God. You do your work as unto God, all of your heart. And now you're bringing a spiritual component to the productivity of what you're doing. And if what you're doing is not ultimately what you're designed for, if it's what you want to do, then work with all of your heart to work towards what you want. You don't just not work and hope that God just hears for a job. Now I'm just going to sit here and just wait for it. It's not what I want, so God, I'm just waiting until God. I'm waiting for the Lord. When I get my perfect job, then I'll get to work. You can turn to Proverbs 10 just real quick. I'm going to wrap it up with this verse out of Proverbs. If you go to Proverbs 10, verse 4. Proverbs 10, verse 4 says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. And this is the law of diligence. Because you've got to have the right attitude about work and understand that you're called. God has called you to work. And you're called to the earth in some capacity, whatever capacity you have, and produce. And we understand that you work the right thing. Sometimes you just start where you are, but you work the right thing. And you work with the right attitude and faith, then God can enter in and bless the covenant of work. So you have to have the right attitude. You've got to have the right mindset about what work is for and accept it as a gift from God. It's so easy to think of it as just it's a drudging 5-day process to get to a week. It's like, oh, it's got the Monday blues. You know, it's Thursday, we're almost there, it's Friday, and it's the weekend's back. And it's so easy to get into that mindset, but we have to have a greater mindset than that. And again, I'm not saying that what you're doing is what you're designed for. Or what you're doing right now, what you should always do. But if you don't learn to, where we are right now, put our hands in what we can do, and do it with all of our heart, then we're never going to have the right attitude when we do have the perfect job. If you have a slack hand now, you're going to have a slack hand then. Might not be the most glamorous thing. It might not be what you love to do, what you're called to do, but bring a good attitude to what your hand is taught to do. You know, Lois, you were mentioning Joseph a little bit, and I kind of had Joseph in here. You know, Joseph had a bigger purpose than just being a slave in Potiphar's house. You know, it wasn't what he was designed, it was slave work. But then he gets chased down by this lustful woman, and he gets blamed for it. But nowhere do we see Joseph complain. Even though it was slave labor, slave work, he had a great attitude in his ungodly boss. And then when he mistreated and tossed him in the pit, he didn't just say, you know what, I tried to be diligent, I tried to be diligent. He's out here in prison. Because he believed that being in slavery or being a prisoner was God's calling her or his destiny. It's just it's where he was. When you first start working the garden, you know, like messy or a little dirty, you might not have all the tools, and you're trying to figure things out, but do with all your heart and see what God can do over time. Don't worry about social media, and we can't fantasize about living the lives that we see on Instagram. It's all fake. Live the life we have right now. We can't imagine. We gotta stop imagining. When I get to retirement, when I can get the beach house, or when I get to that trip that I've always dreamed of. When I get to that, when I finally get to the beach, and I can dip my toes in the sand. You know, then I'm gonna have joy. Then I'm gonna be happy. There's so many people today are dreaming of vacation when they're at work, and when they're on vacation, all they can think about is work. It's because we're not living in the moment that God has called us to. Embrace the law of diligence and realize it's a good thing to work with all your heart. Not to work and wear yourself out, not to neglect your health or neglect your family, but embracing the commission that we have to work and produce is part of how God calls us. You may be making a good living. You might be making more than enough to provide for yourself, provide for your family. But what is your attitude about what you're doing? It's not about the income. It's about the heart you bring and recognizing the kingdom purpose. Wherever you work, there are probably people around you who don't work well. Let your efforts, let your attitude in your life be the witness. You are there for a reason, for a reason. Bring the kingdom to the place that you are. It's not forever. Think most of where you are and watch God open doors that no one else resonates your turn.